from evil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 through 27, be angry but do not sin. Let not the sun go down while you are still angry. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. And then finally, James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. From these selected passages, we want to speak on the subject, let the devil know, not today. Not today. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, not today. Not today. Not today. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we're grateful again to be in the house of prayer. We thank you so much for your love and your grace. And Lord, the abundance that you've poured out upon us. And Father, we realize that as we learn more about you, if we could only love you a fraction of how much you love us, we would really be doing a wonderful thing. But God, until we get to that place, I ask that you would help us to learn, help us to discern your truth, that the truth would set us free. We give you praise and we give you glory for all the amazing things that you do. Help us to proclaim your word now, that you might receive the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we look at the subject, we think about the attacks of the enemy, and we think about the negative things that have happened and the things that continue to happen in our world today. And so we have to ask ourselves, are we going to allow these things to occupy all of our time, all of the energy that we have, all of the opportunities that may present themselves? Are we going to allow these things to dominate us in such a way that we cannot live for God? At some point, we need to be bold in Christ. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There ought to come a time where we will say to those evil influences, not today. Not today. And I know that's easier than said than done because you've got all these challenges, but I want to help you. I really want to help you. I want to help you get past some of the things that you may be struggling with. I want to help you in such a way that you will learn no matter what happens in the day, God is still good. He has not changed one bit. He still loves you as much as He's always loved you. He has a plan for your life, and He certainly doesn't want you to spend one day giving space to the devil. When I came across this passage in Ephesians, and it was linked in with the verse that says, be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still mad or while you still have wrath. And then at the end of it, or verse 27, it says, neither give place to the devil. And as I began to think about that and I heard a song entitled Not Today, it reminded me that we are spending far too much time getting angry about things that we cannot change. Amen. And at some point, we got to give it over to God and let Him work it out. Amen. You know He can do it. He's done it before. And He'll do it again. So our thing is, our motivation today is not today. Matter of fact, I want to start a not today movement. Everybody's got a lot of movements. I want to start a not today movement. And for a good reason. Why spend all your day working with negative stuff? And allowing the enemy or the forces of evil to come and just dump on you all of the anxiety, all of the fears, all of the troubles, all of the worries, and all you do is spend your day dragging a bunch of stuff around. Not today. God has a better plan for your life. He loves you too much for you to give in to these things.
He wants you to hold up your head and know who you are and understand that you are a child of Almighty God. He gave His Son for you to redeem you so that you could spend your time living for Him. Not today. No. Not today. Amen. Not today. Now, don't try this at home until other people know about it, because they're going to look at you and then, have you gone crazy? What do we mean by this? Let's dig into this. Let's look at this. I want you to think about the things that's on your plate and the things that have crept into your life. As Robert Frost says, when he talks about the fog, he said it creeps in on little tiny cat feet. You can't really see it, but it's there. Next thing you know, you've got all of this fog to deal with, and it's hard for you to see the future. Because you're looking at what is, not today. And as we look at this subject, we've got to understand the tactics of the enemy. Very quickly, let's go through this. The enemy is not your friend. All right? He's not your friend. He's not your friend. He's the enemy of God, and therefore he's your enemy. He's my enemy. Sometimes we spend our time fighting the wrong enemy. We think it's flesh and blood. We think it's our brothers and sisters. We think it's members of our household. That's not your enemy. Amen. Now, they may be used by the enemy. Don't get me wrong now. They may be used by the enemy. So we got to understand, what are the tactics of the devil? What is he trying to do? What is he up to? You'd better believe he knows what you're up to. He has studied you. He knows your habits. He knows your routines. He has studied you. He knows what pushes you to the edge. And that's why he wants to come each day and bring stuff your way to push you over the edge. And then he'll tell God, see, you're bragging about them. Didn't he try to push Job to the edge? Let me at him, God. I've watched him. Matter of fact, God asked the devil, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro here and there. And God knew what he was up to. God's got his eye on him. You know, if his eye is on the sparrow, you better believe he's watching the devil. Because he knows the devil wants to eat the sparrow. That's right. Hello, somebody. But God is an amazing God. So what does the devil try to do? First thing is deception. He will deceive you. Now, when you think about deception, I don't want to get into lies, because that's the second one. I want to talk about deception being the thing of trickery. You've seen these magicians. And they use magic. So that what you see is an illusion. You think you see it. And you say, aha. But as Bugs Bunny would say, it's a mirage. It's just something that the devil has fabricated. Because remember, he's not the creator of anything. He didn't create not one thing. Everything has been created by God. And the devil only moves it around. You ever got into these games? You go to the county fair, all right? And you'll watch as this guy says, now, watch my hands. And you'll be watching his hands and the little coin or whatever it is you think is under him. And you'll say, that one. That's the enemy. That's the devil. He takes your blessing. He takes the things that you want to really use in your life. And he says, watch my hands. And the Bible says, don't give any space to the devil. Tell him not today. He deceived Adam and Eve. And here's my point. How do you give something to people that have everything? He promised them. He said, oh, you know, you're going to be as gods. Well, they were already the children of God, right? And God had put them up in this plush apartment. I mean, he had, in the Garden of Eden, you couldn't ask for anything better. And what were they doing? They were listening to the devil. And what was he doing? He was deceiving them. Second thing the enemy does is he's dishonest. You can't trust him because he lies. He lies all the time because the truth is not in him. After all, if he got kicked out of heaven because he thought he could, you know, get in the place of God's throne, he's going to lie. Amen. Jesus put it this way, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The devil will put out things about you. Just thought you want to know that. Amen. And he'll use haters to spread the lies. Now, you can choose. You can choose, if you want to spend your entire day responding to what so-and-so said, and they're being used by the devil. Amen. Amen. Because if you don't have anything better to do than to talk about folk, you don't have a whole lot to do. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. So he's dishonest. The third thing, he uses distractions. We are in one of the most distracted ages that we've ever been in. And a distraction is when you set the agenda for minor things that really won't matter. The distraction will be when you think those things are really important. And ladies and gentlemen, as we said a couple of weeks ago, time is ticking away. It's going to tell the true story of your life. Either you were focused on doing what God says was right, or you're going to spend your time distracted. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The devil doesn't have much time, but neither does he have anything to do because he's been kicked out of his assignment. He's no longer welcomed in heaven as an archangel. By the way, his job was to worship. How many of y'all know that? He was the worship angel. You have Gabriel, the warrior angel. You have Gabriel, rather, the word angel. You have Michael, the warrior angel. And you had Satan, the worship angel. And when Satan got kicked out of heaven, God didn't look for another worship angel. And the angel said, "Who are you going to give it to?" He said, "I'm going to give it to my children. I want my children to praise me." And so when you come to church, it's not about how you look and how you think and how you feel. You've been the replacement. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. You have been the one that God picked out. They're going to praise me. Amen. They're going to praise me. They're going to honor my name. Just thought you might want to know that. One more thing, destruction. He's come to destroy. He'll destroy friendships over stupid stuff. Doesn't take a whole lot. As a matter of fact, he'll combine these things and what you thought somebody said, now you don't speak to them anymore. I don't talk to them because, they said something about, man, you don't know because you never talked to them. And you never sat down and said, did you really mean this? Matter of fact, when I've had people that I've kind of had some conflicts with, I'll call them up on the phone. I say, hey, did you really mean that? Now, they meant it. Now, mom said, I'm going to still love you, but I'm going to love you at a distance. Yeah, I'm going to still love you. I want you to know that. How we doing? How we doing? You know, when relationships, marriages, jobs. You know, let me get this straight. You're going to work a job. The man going to pay you, right? And you're going to mouth off at him. Newsflash, you don't want a job. Now, granted, you've got laws that will protect you if the person is abusive, if they're saying things, if they're doing things, it's against the law. You got laws, but don't be telling your boss, man, I ain't going to do that. All right. And you know what he'll say? Okay, bye. Pink slip. Amen. The enemy comes to destroy. Yes. He will not stop until God stops him. As a matter of fact, the devil had done so much to Job, and Job still wasn't. I call Job's faith that bulldog kind of faith, you know, where you latch on to something and you don't let go. And here's what Job said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Whoa, hot dog, I want that. Now. So when you think about your life, when you think about all that God is doing, don't let anything destroy your faith in God. Don't let anything destroy your confidence in him. Yeah, people will act bad and the devil will use them, but don't let it destroy your faith in God. I got to hurry up and preach because I need to move on with my time. And then the last thing that the devil does, he brings about death. He'll lure you. He'll tempt you. He'll test you to get you to the point where now, even though you're alive, you're walking dead. You have no plans for your life, have no hope for your future. You've basically given up on everybody. You ever seen people that they've given up? A lot of times when people get in poverty, they'll get to the place where nothing works out and they'll just shake their head and say, there's no hope. Please understand that as long as you got blood flowing through your vein, as long as you got breath in your body, as a matter of fact, I've got a testimony of a lot of folks in this church that have risen up when they didn't hardly have two nickels to rub together to make a dime. And when they were, you know, when what was in their refrigerator was just an old little bit of milk left and just a little bit of flour, and they made some grape.
All right.
Amen. Are y'all in the house?
Yes.
You got to understand that God is a good God. He did not put you in this world for you to just keel over and die. He has a plan for your life. So when the devil comes to you with this list of things, just tell him, not today. Not today. So, preacher, how does the devil get a foothold for us? How does he get into our life? Listen what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Anger can be a foothold for the devil. As a matter of fact, I was reading in another passage where it says the anger of man, or the wrath of man, James 1 and verse 20, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When you're angry, you can't think straight. When you're angry, you love people less than what you normally would love them. Are y'all still here? You're kind of looking at me, so I must be striking a nerve. You're not asleep, so you're still here. Amen? When you get angry, your wrath begins to kindle. Now, what does the devil have to do with that? He loves to stir up things. So while you're angry, no one has said while they were angry, I'm mad as heaven. When you're angry, you can be a child of God. Next thing you know, man, stuff that's coming out of your mouth. Because that anger is stirred up by hell. And I used it in the proper text. The devil will use your anger. And when you lay down mad, you get up the next day with revenge. Now, you had anger before you laid down, but you allowed it. And the Bible, Jesus puts this in a parable. He said, while men slept, while they slumbered and slept, the devil came in and sowed tares among the wheat. Now, think about this. While you're angry, you're not only developing revenge, you're poisoning your system. Your mental attitude has become the fact, I was mad yesterday, and what they did made me mad, but now I can't stand them. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Two brothers offered sacrifices, and one of them brought a better sacrifice because one just didn't think a lot about it, and his brother brought the better one. And so the two brothers were one God had accepted, and the other God says, no, you didn't bring what I expected, and I want you to get it right. And then God told him something. He said, now what I want you to do is to get this straight, because your anger, what you're angry about, sin is at the door. And guess what else God said to him? It will have the mastery over you. You ever had people to get angry and then they'll talk to you about it, and then they'll say, my mind told me to give them a piece of my mind. Let me tell you something I learned. All right, now, my mama would always tell us that don't give people a piece of your mind because you don't know that much. Wise woman, right? So you get up with revenge. You say to yourself, I'm going to get even with them. Now, rather than you going about your day, here it is, anger's got you by the nose, and you're looking for an opportunity to get revenge, missing your blessing, because your blessing is right there. God is telling you, I didn't give you this day for you to be upset. That's what he told to Cain. That's what he said to Cain. Cain, get it right. I want to have fellowship with you. I want you to enjoy the blessing that I have. I want you to walk in righteousness. Get it right, but don't get angry. You know what happened? Cain allowed his anger to fester, to grow, until it became full-blown. You know, sometimes the fires that you see are not always above ground. If you watch a volcano, when it gets above ground, that's when it's erupted. But before it can burn above ground, it's got to burn underground. And it just festers. And the next thing you know, here it comes. Be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, because if you're angry, the devil's going to take it and he's going to run with it. I'm going to come back to part two of this next week because I'm out of time and I don't want to creep up on the Sunday school time. But let me just close with this. Saints must not give room to the devil. Remember, we used to ride the school bus. How many of y'all remember riding the school bus, right? All right, so we're riding the school bus. My bus was bus number 54, and you had to ride about maybe 15, 20 miles to get to school. You had people that you wanted seated beside you on the bus. So bus driver, you know, we had this bus driver named Budai. Yeah, he was interesting. And I used to get on his nerves. All right, so, yeah, I was a bad. You ought to be glad I'm saved. So thank God Reverend Coleman got saved. He was terrible. I would do stuff. And well, anyway, let me go on with this. But you had people that you wanted beside you on the bus because you were going to take a long ride. It's going to at least take you about 45 minutes. You don't want people on your seat that gets on your nerves. Why in the world, in this journey through life, would you give your seat to the devil? He has not done a thing for you. He didn't wake you up this morning. He didn't put food on your table. And the only thing, if you let him sit down beside you, the only thing that he's going to want to do is to pester you, is to get you upset. When you got Jesus that said, hey, I want a seat. Let me sit beside you. Let me ride through this journey through life. I'll bless you. I'm your friend. I care about you. I've got your future. So think about your life as that bus ride. And you're journeying through this life and he wants to tell you things so that when things happen to you, he can tell, don't take it that way. He will tell you things when people do things to you, forgive them. Well, Lord, what am I going to get if I forgive them? You're going to get my joy. You're going to have my peace. You're going to have the things that I prepared for you. Don't give space to the devil. Tell him not today. Here's the reason why. Because this is the day. Look at somebody, tell him this is the day. This is the day that God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to walk around with an attitude. Guess why? Because God's been too good. He's blessed me too long. He knows me by name. He's got a plan for my future. And when he sits down on your seat, you better believe he's going to start giving you blessings. Tell the devil not today. Tell the devil not today. I will not walk in fear. I will not walk in all of the things that are negative. I'm going to walk in the joy of the Lord. Look at somebody this last time. Don't touch them. Nope. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Just tell them, not today. Father, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your love. And Lord, this message really, it helps me. I had problems with anger. And Lord, unless I'm being treated for that, that anger will still flare up. It'll still give me problems today. But into thy hands I commit my spirit and my life and my emotions and everything I have. I give it to you because I don't want the devil to have control over those things in my life. I trust you enough. I love you enough to say no to the devil and yes to God. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen, amen. Now you got to come back next week because we got part two. Part two. We're going to give the invitation. There might be somebody today that you've been impacted by this message. And you say, preacher, you struck a nerve with me. And I always tell people, before you get the message, I get it 5 or 6 times. So yeah, it struck a nerve with me too. But what I want to start is a not today movement. Why should we live our day giving it to sin and unrighteousness, ungodliness, when we can live it for God's glory? And if you made that decision, if you really trust him today, you can surrender your life to him. I want to give the invitation, if there be one today. Maybe you're not a member of a church, you'd like to be a part of our family. We'd love to have you. If there's one, maybe we all stand.